You find in studio with Dave and Charlie this morning. Pat Johnston is off. Art Lewis, you in your home broadcast studio.
Indeed.
Little sneak preview, if we may. You intend to offer a little debate analysis and people to call in what they thought last night from the VP debate at 9 o'clock?
Was there a debate last night? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, when you look at the D's, it wasn't a debacle. It was a debate. It was a little better than what we had seen the first time around with the presidential debate. I thought both of them handled themselves fairly well, and I thought both of them avoided the questions professionally.
Pat Johnston, who's not with us, sent me an email and suggested the same. Nice to know that we had a good old-fashioned debate where politicians used evasive maneuvers to avoid answering questions
exactly.
That were asked.
Perfect.
So they could answer
Perfect.
Their own questions.
Perfect. Great minds think alike. There you go.
I said, one of the things we were talking a little earlier, and one of my takes on this was, as much as, you know, people, it's a viewership opportunity. I understand that. I was once again enjoying the coverage on WSGW, both on the 100.5 and 790 frequencies and online at WSGW.com. So I had no clue, no indication, no insight whatsoever that one of the stars of the debate
the fly.
Was the fly. Exactly right. So,
yeah. That's you know, and I think the other thing, too, and I have to say this, I love listening on radio like you do. But the one thing you did miss was the facial reactions of mm-hmm. each of them as the other was speaking. You know, there were sneers and there were laughs and there were, you know,
they weren't
as interruptive as the first debate. There was some interruption. Neither of them understand 2 minutes. They both ran over, and despite Susan Page's efforts to stop them, they kept talking anyway. And, you know, they both avoided the questions. It was, I don't think. Honestly, I don't think it changed anybody's mind. I'm not sure there was a winner or loser last night. I think they both did about the same. And really, we didn't learn much.
Let me ask you this about, because I was speculating earlier, because, and Dave said the same thing, you know, I missed the body language, which admittedly sometimes does play a key part. We know that in personal interactions with people. You know, with the way somebody says something, their body language can convey what they're trying to. I was wondering, you know, they know they're on camera, and you know their handlers must have told them, you know, always be aware. But my question is, do you think that the advice was, and if you disagree with something, while you will not interrupt them, you will use your body language, whether it's shaking your head or mouthing a word, just so when viewers are watching, they will be able to know that you are disagreeing?
Man, I think when you watched the way the two of them did it, very much their own personalities. She would smile a lot, laugh a lot. He would shake his head no, and then maybe mouth a word or two every now and then. It wasn't super dramatic. It was just reaction, you know. I whether they were told or not, who knows? I mean, but it was part of the game, and you see it all the time. It's nothing new. I've told people, you know, and people ask me about broadcasting from home, what do I miss? And I said, well, the one thing I miss is the interaction with the guest, because an interviewer will also read the guest's reaction and be able to respond to it. I don't get that privilege when I'm sitting at home talking to him on the phone. So you do, you know, body language is important.
Sure is. One thing that I would have liked to have heard an answer to, both of them, Pence was, you know, using Mr. Trump's positions, and Harris was using Biden's positions up and down the line on throughout the entire evening. But then they were asked, given the age of their party, their candidate, if they were to become vice president, what would be their course of action? And I would have liked to have heard something more about what their position might be, but I guess at this point they don't want to make that kind of a commitment, or don't assume that the person won't complete a term.
If that was the question, you know, as vice president, what's your course of action? Whatever the president says.
Well, right now, but they said if they took over.
If you took over, then it's a whole different story. Yeah,
right.
I mean, but that's,
so we didn't learn anything about their own individual thoughts.
And to be honest, I don't think even if I were in that position, I don't think I'd answer it. I'm there to represent the administration or the candidate. You know, the vice president in reality is the second most and at the same time least important person in the world.
But this was billed as the most watched vice presidential debate ever because people were speculating that one of them could very well become president,
both
and
in
we
their
didn't
70s,
learn anything.
Yeah, both in their 70s and all of that. You didn't learn anything, but you can, you could pretty well assume that because they're on the tickets, they pretty well follow the pattern of their leader, if you will. You might expect a little change, you know. One may be a little farther left or right than the other, but you know,
I
wanted to hear issues. I wanted to hear issues, and I didn't hear much of that.
Yeah, I suspect both of them would be a little bit more to the left.
Both you said.
I think Pence wouldn't be quite as conservative. I think
Pence is a conservative.
I think he'd be leading conservative to moderate.
He wouldn't be as abrasive.
Yes,
let's put it that way.
Right.
But that doesn't move him to the left. That just means he speaks differently.
Now,
she on the other hand could go left.
Very left.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, she could go left. Although I don't know about very left. She could go left. She'd go left to center, no doubt about that. But you know, let's just hope that that never has to happen.
If that happens, it obviously means something's happened to the president.
Yep, you have an incapacitated president, so let's hope that doesn't happen to anybody.
Speaking of presidents, word is out, maybe you've heard some of the news coverage already, that the debate next Thursday is going to be a virtual debate, if you will.
Mm-hmm. That'll be interesting.
Commission on Presidential Debates has announced that the second debate will take the form of a town meeting, and the candidates will participate from separate remote locations. The moderator is going to be Steve Scully, the executive producer and political editor of C-SPAN. He'll be located at the Adrian Center for the Performing Arts of Miami-Dade County in Miami, Florida. The White House pool will provide coverage for the debate. We'll have the coverage for you, of course, on the radio. I don't know where Mr. Biden and Mr. Trump will be, but they'll be at remote, separate locations.
Mm. See, now I have to ask myself, why spend that money? Why not just leave Mr. Scully sit in his studio and, you know, and the other two candidates sit in their homes? Or, well, of course, the president's in the White House, but I would require that the scene not have a bunch of presidential things attached to it, and that Mr. Biden could be in his basement or wherever he wants to be. Why does one have to go to one location, one to another location, and the moderator sit in an empty hall in Florida? Does that make sense?
It's politics, so of course it doesn't.
Thank you.